in the short term here, Coach Marone will be our interim head coach for the next 2 weeks, and we look forward to working with Coach Marone and seeing what he has to offer, and I think good things will be ahead for the Jaguars.
I think the one thing about a football team, whenever you get up and stand in front of a team, you need to make sure that you tell them the truth. I just try to tell them like it is and tell them what we need to do to win the game, and making sure that everyone understands what we have to do in all three phases. That's how I've always operated.
More aggressive. You know, I think he was no tolerance, you know, just East Coast guy, you know, whatever. Everything that embodied, just hard nose, not really taking any BS, and he's going to tell you about yourself, and I think that's how a lot of guys are being coached in the league, and I think he did a good job of, you know, being a good players coach and understanding us, but being hard nosed, and I think a lot of guys took notice to that and attached to that and took that attitude.
You've stated you'd like to keep coaching. Is that where we are right now?
Well, that's something that I'm trying to deal with. Is it coaching or would I kind of like to run a team if I had that opportunity, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But, you know, all those things are in the back of my mind. And I have to remind people, you know, it takes two to tango. Wouldn't be just any job. I would say that to you. It'd have to be the right circumstance.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday morning to you. We hope it's a happy Tuesday. We hope it's the first day of a brand new outlook for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Time will tell, right? You're always optimistic, Jeff and Tony, when new hirings are made, right? It's something new. Hey, we got rid of what wasn't working. This next thing is bound to work, and I hope that's the case.
I do too.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think we all can agree on that, right? I wanted Tom Coughlin to be the head coach of this football team. Didn't turn out to be that way. I'm not going to go in the corner and pout about it. I hope Doug Marone goes 16-0, baby, and I hope Tom Coughlin's the best executive ever. To me, I would have hired him to be the coach because that's where he's built his resume, but I like having him back in the organization as an alternative. What did Brian Walters tell us yesterday, Tony? He's looking for in a new head coach?
Hard ass.
Hard ass. He said that's what this team needs. That's coming from the locker room. You talk about accountability. You talk about discipline. These are some things we heard Jeff kind of lapse a little bit this year under Gus Bradley, whether it's all on Gus's plate or not, right? It's the culture was heading in that direction. I think Doug Marone and Tom Coughlin, the combination of those, there's no question there's going to be a discipline and vision, and hopefully it's the right vision. We don't know that, but because Tom Coughlin's had his share of losing seasons as well. But accountability should not be an issue with this football team, I wouldn't think.
No, it will not be. And, you know, I said this before about Dave and Gus. You know, you wish you had kind of one good cop, bad cop in that. In that kind of dynamic, and I think that
you had good cop, better cop.
it's kind of how it was, and look, sometimes that works, and it worked in Seattle, and it worked to, and it's still working in Seattle, and I think what helps make that happen is, you know, that you have a very competitive roster, you know, and when this thing started 4 years ago, you know, the roster was not competitive, and I think that hindered what may work in another circumstance. And so here's the thing. I mean, if you want good cop, bad cop, you got it, you know, and Tom Coughlin is going to hold everybody accountable. I can tell you that it will be not only the players, but it will be the coaching staff. It'll be Dave Caldwell because he is going to be the El Jefe. He's the man.
Yeah, Caldwell will still be good cop. Marone can be bad cop. Coughlin is, don't you dare get called to his office. I don't know what the word is to describe.
He's the chief,
right,
I'll tell you that.
Right, he's the chief of police, and he's ticked off this morning. You know, and because that's just, until things are running the way he wants them to run, he's going to have that edge about him. That's why you hire Tom Coughlin.
Well, you know, I think the best thing about Tom Coughlin is that, look, he wants to do whatever it takes to win. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, Gus Bradley was more of a Western philosophy, kind of in coaching, the Phil Jackson type. You know, and Tom Coughlin is
Eastern philosophy,
he's
right?
The Eastern philosophy all the way.
No, Gus is in Gus the Eastern philosophy?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Flip-flop.
So I got you.
You know, so it will be a different dynamic, you know, and Tom will have his hand in all departments when it comes to football and to make sure that things are right. And I think that, you know, when you want to make change, which you need to make change after 14-48, you got to look at everything. And that's what I've been talking about for a couple weeks, and it's good because, you know, When Tom walks in the door, he's got great experience. And he's got great experience when it comes to everything related to football. He's got experience when it comes to coaching. He's got experience when it comes to personnel. And he's got experience when it comes to running an organization in the way that it's set up. And to me, that's what you need. And I'm excited for it because I know yesterday when I guess it was Adam Schefter that tweeted out that Doug Marrone's expected to be named the head coach. And I remember Frank Frangie texted me and said, hey, can you come on for a minute? And I said, nah, I'm going to wait because there's got to be something more to it. I mean, Shaq Khan doesn't do anything that's going to be perceived or viewed as, I guess, status quo.
Settling. Yeah.
You know, because I just knew that there was something more to it. And then when the announcement came out or the tweet went out about Tom Coughlin, I said, okay, there it is. That's kind of what I was expecting. And then I texted Frank back and said, I can come on now. You know, because I knew that there was going to be more than that. Shaq Khan's done everything, I don't want to say in a big fashion, but in the right way. You know, from, you know, the stadium upgrades, the locker room upgrades, to the trying to build the brand across the world, to Daly's Place that is under construction right now. He doesn't want to do anything that's not perceived or viewed as the best possible way to do things. And with Tom Coughlin, I think it gives him that.
We'll discuss, obviously, this at length today, your reaction to Tom Coughlin being back in the organization, to Dave Caldwell being in the organization in a bit of an unfamiliar role because he does have a football boss ahead of him. He always had Shaq Khan over him anyway that he cleared things with, but now he's got a executive vice president of football operations that he will technically answer to. And all, you know, we say answer to, a lot of the structure and a lot of the day-to-day workings of this will be fleshed out. We don't know. We're making some assumptions. We know some other things, and we'll discuss those today. But obviously, there'll be a press conference in about 48 hours from now on Thursday morning, which we'll endeavor to cover live here on Jaguars Today. That'll go more into detail, and all the major players will be there, including Shaq Khan, Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marrone. So we'll get into that today, your reaction to Doug Marrone being retained as the interim head coach. You wanted a head coach with experience? Well, he does have experience. Does he have the right experience? What do you think about that? How much of the staff, if any, would you like to see retained? We're just discussing that. There will be some changes on this coaching staff for sure, and don't assume that anybody's safe until you know that they're safe at this point in time. So all that is fair game today at 641-1010. Our fan feedback question of the day, typically just ask you to send a question in for logs if you want to have something answered. But today we're asking you, what is your feeling about Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, those two hires yesterday? You know the positions that they were brought back. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Logs56 LOGS56, 641-1010 on the phone line and on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, and the Jaguars Today Facebook page up and rolling as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Loggeman here with you on a Tuesday live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jeff Loggeman lays down the law. Jeff Loggeman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Loggeman.
All right, we are live at EverBank, Tom's house, House of Tom Built. Welcome back, Coach. I wore jeans today because I wanted to be fancy. Because TC's going to be here. I was in, I left the house today. Sometimes I leave the house at 8 o'clock. You know, if the traffic is good, I'll get here about 8:55, right? And plenty of time to get on the air at 10 o'clock. I left the house at about 7:05, dropped my kid off at school because I don't want to, you know, you got to at least be 5 minutes late, Logs. And it doesn't matter if there's a traffic jam to end all traffic jams. There's no excuse from TC.
You better be 5 minutes early,
right?
I can tell you that.
If you're not 5 minutes early, you're late.
Wonder what time Tom got here today.
I don't know if he was here today or not.
I don't either.
You know, but I'm sure that he is working and has been working tirelessly since he knew that he was going to be named in that position. But that's funny because, you know, playing 6 years in the National Football League, you know, when I came here, I'd never been fined. Never. Not even $5. I think the only fine I ever had was, you know, we used to have a defensive line fine rule. You know, if you had a mental error in a game.
Right, you throw $20 in the pot or something
like
that.
At the end of the year, we go and we have a big dinner. You know, and then I come here and I got fined because I wore a Texas tie one time. a bolo.
A bolo tie.
Yeah,
sure,
I got
yeah.
fined. And I had to explain to Tom that that's actually considered a tie. And he revised his rule book the following year. Instead of it reading, you know, the dress code on road trips, you had to wear a tie. It actually said a cloth tie the following year.
But he did fine you regardless.
Yes.
Because you should have known
which was,
you know, that he meant a cloth tie.
I'd explained to him, and that obviously his exposure to different cultures is not very varied. And I explained to him that my great-grandfather, who was an ambassador and spoke seven languages, wore this on a daily basis. And it was considered very nice to wear a Texas tie.
Yes.
I got fined one time for being late to practice, which I wasn't late for practice. I had just happened to cross the concentration line, I think, 4.5 minutes before practice started.
Ah, 30 seconds late, in other words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where else did I get fined for? I think that was it. And I did catch him one time violating his own rules, you know, because we had when you were in the hotel of visiting city, you had, you know, your road travel wear, and then you had your in-the-hotel gear that you could wear.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to wear patent leather shoes that could not be sneakers. And you did have to have socks on. And he gets on the elevator in the road hotel wearing white tennis shoes.
Oh, no. TC.
So, scofflaw. He gets on the elevator. The doors close, and I start chuckling. He said, "What's so funny?" And I said, "What's so funny is that you don't even understand your own rules." And then I just looked down at his shoes. He pushed the elevator button to go back up to change into his proper dress code.
Oh,
and
man.
I asked him later, "Did you fine yourself?"
And what was his response to that?
I got some
that?
Kind of, you know, grunt.
Did he take back your good coffee?
His coffee, I mean, the coffee story was unbelievable.
The coffee was great. TC wanted it first class, and Jeff complained about the coffee at the first training camp.
It was terrible.
The next day, you had a brand new professional coffee
set up.
We had
like a mini Starbucks.
It was great.
The following day.
You know,
you know what? It was awesome.
Start complaining about some things around here, Tony. See if we got a guy in the building and get things done. 641-1010.
That was the best part of Tom, is that, you know, there was only one person you needed to talk to. You know, if you had any questions, concerns, complaints.
You didn't need to clear it with anybody.
No, you didn't have to go through, you know, protocols and channels. You went and you talked to Tom. And then he made a decision whether something was going to get changed or not.
A couple quick things here. I'll tell you this, and the Jags will have a chance to expound on how they feel in the decision-making process. And as you have said, Jeff, let's not all jump to conclusions about what we think is going to happen with the coaching staff, with underneath Doug Marrone or any of that stuff, because some of the same people reporting that, you know, certain guys are going to be retained or other guys weren't hired because of their opinion on Bortles are ones who were telling you that some other coach was going to get the job in the first place. So the information is not always accurate that's out there. That being said, I think the Jags believe that this job ultimately was extremely attractive.
Absolutely.
They do not for a second. Now, you may disagree with this in your perception, but I'm telling you this is their honest opinion, is that they didn't settle when they hired Doug Marrone.
Absolutely not.
And they think Doug Marrone is definitely the most qualified guy to get him off and running in 2017 out of all the candidates, for one particular reason, because being in the organization for the last 2 years, he's seen it all. He knows what the flaw, he knows where the, like you said, he's going to coach those last two games. He's going to be Doug Marrone. He's going to say, you know what? I'm not just going to ride it out for 2 weeks. Here are the things I would change. You can't have a complete philosophy switch in a two-week period, but you can start to show the kind of differences that in decision-making that you would make compared to what Gus Bradley made or any of your other predecessors, and they just feel that Doug Marrone came in, and clearly this team has issues. He had the answers to how he would fix the issues. Whether they turn out to be the right answers, time will tell on that, mm-hmm. like any other coaching hire. But they truly believe that Doug Marrone was the right guy. You can say this is spin all you want. I'm just telling you how I know the organization feels. And when I don't say no without when I'm guessing, okay? I know this is how they feel about Doug Marrone, and I know this is how they feel about the attractiveness of this job and the interest level, because you're going to hear, oh, they couldn't get this guy. This guy must have turned him down. This guy didn't want to work with Bortles. That's not the way they saw it here whatsoever. So,
well, I think anybody that says anything to the contrary, that this was, if somebody's saying that this is not an attractive job, I think they've got an agenda or their feelings are hurt for some reason.
Well, I will say that you can make the case if you are, let's say you're an offensive-minded head coach and you don't believe in Blake Bortles, then it might not be as attractive as it would be to somebody else, right? If you feel like, at least for the next year, this is kind of what I'm going to have at quarterback, and I don't know if I can win with him, right? And so, you know, I think reasonable people can disagree on how attractive the job is.
Maybe, but look, I had that conversation with a lot of fans yesterday when the news came out saying, you know, the guys that must have turned down the job because of Bortles, and I asked them, what job is open that you like the quarterback situation? Like, if that really is that I'm not going because you have this at quarterback, then where are they going to go?
San Diego.
Yeah.
That'd be about it.
That'd be about it. Buffalo's running the guy out of town that's been a starter for the last couple of years. Denver has
Denver drafted a guy, and they have no idea if he's the right guy.
L.A.? I mean, where San Francisco has the Kaepernick Gabbert quagmire right now, and maybe they draft the quarterback, but is there really a guy that you love in this draft either? Like, if that is the reason you think they didn't choose here, then where are they going to go? There's not a lot of options. Look, that's why jobs open up.
The opinion on the quarterback had nothing to do with, you know, is this job attractive or is it not? I mean, that doesn't even factor into the equation. You go back to, we had that conversation about, you know, the decision making on the quarterback, is it black or white? That's not what it is. You know, to refresh people's memory, I said, look, the decision on the quarterback should always be gray, and that you don't know. You know, so that doesn't change whether you want to take this job or not. You know, time will tell whether Blake Bortles is the answer here. You know, and if you're a smart man, you always assume that he's not, because you have other options that are in the works, so to speak. Because you know what? Any team in the National Football League, even if you, how many teams know what the quarterback is? Very few. Very few. And even the ones that have an established quarterback, with the exception of the elite quarterbacks, you know, you don't know if a guy's going to get hurt or not. So you always have to have a second plan of attack, one in the works, so to speak. So, look, the quarterback had no influence on whether this job is attractive or not. The reason that this job was attractive and is attractive is because, look, it's got great ownership. It's a great place to live, as you can see by many players and coaches that have retired and stayed here. And also, from a standpoint of, you know, the quickest chance for success, many people view this football team as being close. Now, is that a reality or not? I don't know. But that's the perception. So this team and this organization is very attractive for a lot of reasons. And the reality is, are people turning this job, or did they turn this job down for any other reason? Look, there's only 32 jobs in the National Football League. Do you think these guys that are candidates around the National Football League are turning down an opportunity to be one of 32?
Doug Marrone did. Huh. I mean, he left Buffalo. I mean, it does happen.
And I guarantee you, if you asked him his honest opinion, he would regret. He would tell you for the most part that he regrets.
Maybe he would, or maybe he'd look at the way
now
things
may
have
not
gone
say
dysfunctionally
that,
there. But my point being, I'm just trying to say, in rare instances, If you're a hot young guy who may feel like I have a lot of options, it may not be as attractive. The reasons you're laying out, we think it's a great job,
sure,
right?
Sure it is.
But if you're a guy being courted by four of the six teams that have openings, it may not be your top choice. It may not be as attractive as just, you know, to a guy whose only interview is in Jacksonville, where the idea of becoming a head coach in the National Football League should be attractive to any coordinator-level coach or any former head coach if they want to continue doing it. But not all jobs are created equal. Regardless, that wasn't – the organization doesn't feel, for not even in the slightest, that is why they went with Doug Marrone. They truly feel he's the best option. Time will tell if they're right on that. I'm not saying they made all the right decisions. We don't know. I hope they did.
I think one thing that I think helped Doug Marrone through this whole thing is that, look, if I can tell you this, if you've got Doug Marrone in a room and you talk to Doug Marrone and you talk to Mike Smith won't interview as good as Doug Marrone. You know, just from my personal experience, and I think Smitty is a great guy. I think he's an outstanding football coach. But in the interview process, Mike Smith will not wow you. You know, and And I think Mike Smith offered continuity possibly. I think Doug Marrone offered continuity also. And I'm not saying that everything's going to remain the same, but to retain some semblance of what you have I don't say built for the last 4 years, but what you have installed for the last 4 years to be able to build upon that. It's a lot easier to do that when it's the language is the same, as opposed to let's completely start over again and start from the ground floor.
And they feel like Doug Marrone knows what was wrong. He was there to see what was wrong. He wasn't responsible for everything that was wrong. Look, he's not blameless. Nobody's blameless when you win as few games.
If you're not the head coach, you don't have control over anything.
Of course you don't. But you have responsibility to coach your area and all those different things. But they just felt like, I think any coach coming into a new situation, it's going to take time to learn the roster. They don't feel like they've got that kind of time. They recognize the situation they're in and the need to win now. And they think that this is a pair of hirings that'll put them in the best position to do that in 2017. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time this morning and get your reaction. Let's start with Danica on the south side at 641-1010. Good morning, Danica.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
I have to say I'm kind of in the middle of the road with this. I wasn't overly excited, but I wasn't extremely disappointed either. I wasn't too keen on, training ground again for first-time head coaches for Jacksonville. So I'm okay with this. And now what I want to know is now that they've had their head coach in place, do the domino falls with the other teams hiring their coaches, and do we get that first pick of staff? Because I feel like a shakeup is coming, just like Log said. Thanks.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, you do get the importance of hiring first is very important. And that's why I'm sure they're meeting with the assistant coaches that are under contract right now to make a determination of whether, they're going to stay or go. And what you talked about, Mike, and you brought up a great point, is that, Doug Marrone has been around for 2 years. He's got an understanding of the roster. He's got an understanding of the type of coaches that are currently here. And I'm sure that he's formed opinions over the last couple of years on what changes need to be made. And so with hiring Doug Marrone, those decisions are already made. I guarantee you that he's probably meeting with coaches today, whether it be via the phone or via in person, and he's letting them know what their status is so that he can go ahead, keep the ones that he wants to keep, and then the ones that he needs to fill, he's on the phone and been on the phone right now to get the best of the best.
That probably started yesterday. Honestly, right? I mean, at least the ones...
I guarantee it started before then.
Well, it probably did, right? As soon as... I think any coach who knows they're potentially in the pipeline to get a new job constantly has a group of contacts that he stays in touch
with. Well, look, when you're interviewing for a head coaching position... I mean,
they ask you, who are your targets that you're going to fill your staff out with? Here are my first four choices or whatever at OC,
Part of preparing for that interview process, you've already called people to gauge what their interest level may be if you get the job. And also, you're cultivating relationships that you've had in the past to gauge where somebody might be at. So, I mean, a lot of those things have already happened, and the wheels are just put in motion right now.
All right, let's get in Sonny and Nakati before we break here. Good morning, Sonny. How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I'm excited about the hires. I'm excited about both of them. The one point I wanted to make about Doug Marrone is he took the team the week of the Titans game, got them ready for at the time it was the hot, AFC Titans team, and they crushed them. They killed them. So that kind of speaks for Doug Marrone, I would say, right there. I guess my question is, with Coughlin coming here, do you think that's going to entice more players to come here, like maybe a Jason Pierre-Paul? Because I think he's a free agent right now, but I guess that's my question.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's specific connections with the Giants, possibly, right? I mean, ultimately, unless Coughlin's face is on the money that they're paying these guys, I don't think it's Coughlin's name that's going to influence those decisions.
No, it did seem clear yesterday, though, that JPP is going to really hit free agency this year.
Right, he said he will not sign another one-year deal, and bring him on.
Nobody else is doing what I'm doing with 7.5 fingers, I think was his quote.
You're damn right. I mean, I saw him a bunch this year, and he was highly effective against the run and the pass. So I would bring in Jason Pierre-Paul in a heartbeat if they want to allocate some of their resources that way. With a guy, if Jason Pierre-Paul has a good relationship with Tom Coughlin, then maybe you could
that
have
could
a little
help.
Right, a former Giant that could have a little bit of influence. Outside of that, I don't think it's a significant factor. Again, it's going to come down to, I don't even know if every free agent who signs here will even know that he is, you know what I mean?
Well, look, for free agents, the first thing that has to happen for a free agent is viewing this franchise as a destination that they would like to be at is the question of what are they going to be playing?
You know, right. What scheme are they going to play?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so that's got to get answered long before, you know, the determination of, well, I know Tom.
And then how much are they going to pay me to play in that scheme?
Exactly.
Which is a big factor. So, but you know, in a specific example like Jason Pierre-Paul, why not, right? Assuming they had a good relationship up there in New York. I don't know. I'm not privy to the details of how they saw each other.
Well, I will say this, and just when it relates to Jason Pierre-Paul, I thought that Tom Coughlin handled that whole ordeal that Jason Pierre-Paul went through with, you know, the accident. I thought he handled it very well. And I'm sure that Jason Pierre-Paul looks at that very favorably from Tom Coughlin's standpoint. In my opinion, I thought Tom handled it perfectly, to be honest with you.
I would like to allocate 10% of my season ticket cost to Jason Pierre-Paul, please. I'd like to be able to earmark some of that. You know how they do, like in your tax form, do you want to make a $3 donation to the presidential election campaign fund or whatever it is? You know, maybe not earmark every dollar of it, but would you like, you know, 10% specifically to go to bring in a new left guard,
so
that kind of
so
thing.
So you're saying 10% of what you're currently paying, you're not saying add another 10% to it?
No. 10% of what I'm currently paying. I want my funds used specifically for that because they're certainly not being used for the roof over there in J.P. Shadrick's little workroom over there. Big leak action last week. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll continue to take your calls on this subject matter at 641-1010. Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, attention.
Now, a breaking coach announcement update. Brought to you by Plumbers 911.
All right, Jags have a coach. Still have a coach. His name's Doug Marrone. Keeping him around. Tom Coughlin back in the building. Although I don't know if he's officially in the building today. But he will be back as Executive Vice President of Football Operations for your Jacksonville Jaguars. And let's hope that after what I'm sure will be another successful winning off season, Jeff, we actually have a winning season around these parts, man.
Well, hey, look, I'm excited that that Tom is coming home, you know, because, I mean, this is home for him.
Sure.
You know, and
now it's really official, though, that this is it, right? This is the end of the line, NFL, you know, it begins and ends in Jacksonville. I say that, and I hope that means Tom has many more successful years here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm sure that it was an easy decision for him. Strong ownership, an opportunity to come back to where he has family. I'm sure that Judy, his wife, is absolutely thrilled to be able to come back to their place here in Jacksonville. I'm sure that there is going to be a little bit of, I don't want to say hesitation, but disappointment that, you know, they've got a lot of family up there in New York with Chris Snee and his daughter and the grandkids up there. But I would not be surprised to see all of them relocate down here eventually.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what you do. You leave New York and go to Florida.
And right now, that'd be a pretty easy decision right now. Let's see. Okay, it's going to be 65 degrees today. And up in New York, it's bitter cold and probably has a little bit of white on the ground.
I'm with you on that. Let's get back to the phones. Chris on the south side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, obviously, I'm like so many others. I'm disappointed by Doug Marrone being the new head coach. I love that Tom Coughlin's our vice president of football operations. I think that's a fantastic move. Any Jag fan loves Tom Coughlin. I just think Doug Marrone is part of the stink that has been in that building over the last few years, and to have, you know, anybody associated with that as the new head coach is disappointing. But I don't think anybody's going to fix it until we fix our quarterback situation. The guy who can't look his teammates in the eye and who's not a natural thrower of the football can't be a winning NFL quarterback. And until that mentality changes with Blake Bortles, I don't care if it's Bill Belichick. I mean, Bortles has to get a little bit of Mike Dempsey in him where he just doesn't care what people think. And he's going to do his job no matter what anybody thinks. And that doesn't mean he's treating the water boy bad, but for Pete's sake, know who you are, be good at it, and don't give a rip what anybody's saying about you.
So what would you have done? What would you have liked to have seen done if you're disappointed in the Marrone? You just anybody from the outside, and I'm not saying this is unreasonable. You just wanted a clean break from the past regime, it sounds like.
I think that, I mean, the players obviously, I think, unwisely voiced their opinion against Doug Marrone before the decision was made. So that probably wasn't good. But that was said, and now you have that awkwardness.
Ooh,
if Doug Marrone, what I understand.
Where are you getting
it? Yeah, I don't get, I got more like
Todd Wash.
Yeah.
There were some complaints about scheme about and all the defense. That stuff from some guys. Yeah.
Right, which Marone didn't really have any, you know, say over. I guess you have, as a head coach, you have say in the final couple weeks of the season, but this was a season-long issue. My feel, that I think the organization feels like some of those comments were a little overblown. Jalen Ramsey is...
He's young.
He's young, and Jalen Ramsey pops off on a semi-weekly basis, or at least a bi-weekly basis, right? And from what I understand, Tashawn Gibson felt like his comments were, you know, they snowballed into more than he meant them to be. A lot of the veterans on the defense didn't agree with some of the comments about the scheme. That's neither here nor there, okay? Because there were certainly some objections and some displeasure that was voiced from some of the players. But that, to me, was more defensive players talking about the defensive scheme. In terms of Doug Marone, I felt I heard coded acceptance of Doug Marone in just the, you know, without trying to bash Gus Bradley, there was a, oh, okay, this is what it's going to be like around here now. And we got a guy who might slam the door in our face if we're late to a meeting, like Dan Hicken reported yesterday. One of the players in the last week or so of the season was late. Coach kicked him out, locked the door behind him, didn't let him back in. It's Doug Marone, whereas maybe the inference that would not have happened previously under Gus Bradley, and that was an example of a little bit more accountability, a little bit more of that hard-ass mentality that Brian Walters discussed.
And
I
think also that, look, I get the attitude that, you know, that Doug Marone may have, you know, a stink around him because he was part of the Gus Bradley. I mean, I understand people's feelings sometimes on that. But, you know, look, the Denver Broncos hired Gary Kubiak, you know, after having John Fox.
He had a 2-14 season in Houston.
And I'm sure that there was a lot of Denver Bronco fans
right.
that said, look, you know, I mean, why was John Elway hiring his buddy when he couldn't even get the Houston Texans, you know, beyond a playoff win? Now, look, it's not about, you know, that one guy or a head coach is, look, this is not going to work just because he did this in the past. You know, there's also the whole change of philosophy or the change of thought, and that, look, you know, the circumstances might not have been right. And, you know, and to say that Doug Marone has a stink attached to him because of, you know, what had happened the previous, you know, 3.5 years, I mean, it's just, to me, that's ridiculous.
Look, it may be in reality, but
Bill Belichick had a stink with him when he left the Cleveland Browns.
And Jeff, but, you know, we can look at it now and say, obviously, that worked out great. But there are a lot of examples of guys who weren't successful the first time around who aren't successful the second time around either, right? So we can cherry pick. And Marone happened to actually be successful his first time around in Buffalo.
I don't know if you saw the article or not, that there was an article that somebody wrote about the statistics, the numbers, whatever you want to call it, of coaches that have been – a second time around and what their rate of success was, and also interim coaches, what their chances of success were after being named the head coach. Look, the reality is if you go across the league and you look at any coach and their chances of success, they're not good because there's only one team that wins the Super Bowl every year.
I mean, about half the teams are going to have a winning record, half are going to have a losing record,
or
roughly.
I mean, the numbers are never going to look good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. So if you're sitting there trying to pin your hopes on numbers, statistics, you know, whatever you want to, I mean, that's crazy to look at it from that perspective. It's just like the reality of is when anybody gets hired, they're going to get fired. It happens. It's the way it is.
Generally so.
Coaching the National Football
League. Yeah.
Tom Coughlin, for all intents and purposes, got fired
twice
from the New York Giants.
Right.
He got fired from here. You know, So don't sit there and think that there's a stink attached, because then you can sit there and say the Bill Belichick, the Gary Kubiaks.
But you know, I do get that from a fan's point of view that, okay, maybe he is not a coach we're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but I want a clean start here. I get that point of view from a fan who would say, you know what, this coaching staff, they all had their fingers in some way on a team that vastly underachieved, went 3-13. Go back a year before that, they've got 8 wins over the last 2 years, if we don't go back any further than that. And so I get that, you know, that, okay, whereas Josh McDaniels may have failed in Denver, but now he's learned some things, and now maybe he can succeed here in a new environment. For example, you're grinning.
No, I'm grinning because, you know, it's great to learn things with Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Grant, look, I'm just using him as an example. Okay, right. I'm not posturing for Josh McDaniels. In fact, I wasn't a proponent of bringing him here, but I can totally clearly get the fans' point of view that, and I'll give Dave Caldwell and Shad Khan and everybody credit for having the courage of their convictions, because this is an easy thing to point to if you're a fan, if it doesn't go well. If you're 1-3 after the first month of the season, it's very easy to say, well, what do you expect? You retained a guy that was here over the last couple of years when they were big underachievers. What could you have possibly thought was going to be different? That excuse or blame is built into this if they get off to a slow start next year. So I'm not saying that's a good reason to not hire Doug Marrone, because clearly they went and felt like he was the best guy for the job. But they know that that is going to come up if they struggle at all this year.
Yeah, and the expectations are immediate.
Absolutely.
Versus if you came in and you removed all the stink, I mean, can you say, okay, the expectations are immediate?
For me, yes, I could have. Yeah, I mean, that would have been my expectation. They need to win.
A lot of people would have said, well, let's give them time.
They need to win. I don't know what they need to be. And I went on Pro Football Talk Live this morning, and you know, they asked, well, what are the Jags? How many do they have to win? I don't know. You know, you got to watch it, because some 8-8s are not all built the same. You can fluke your way to 8-8, and you can have the worst breaks in the world and end up 8-8 when you should have been a 12-win team. So, you know, if they win 9 games and miss the playoffs by a game or two, am I going to be happy? Well, nobody's happy when you don't make the postseason, but that doesn't mean it can't be a successful first year under Doug Marrone's tutelage.
It's a matter of how it looks, isn't it?
It's an optics thing, yeah.
It really is. And that's, again, that's why I give them credit, because optics, you shouldn't define your organization by how it looks to other people. You should make decisions that you truly believe in, and that's what I think they're doing here. It may turn out to be the wrong decision. I don't know. None of us know today. We may think, and you may turn out to guess right. It doesn't mean you know how it's going to go. None of us do. And so I'll give them credit for that, because there is room on the coaching side, particularly depending on if and how many of the staff is retained, for that optics thing to be a lingering issue with this team until they prove that they're going to be a team that's successful in the one-loss column.
Well, I think one thing is for certain, that it won't be hard to change the perception about how the staff is going to change. I mean, you're looking at, you know, previously this organization had 27, 28 coaches, somewhere in that range. That ain't happening this time around. My guess is you're looking at 15. 16.
Cutting it down significantly.
Absolutely.
But it's not even that, to me, the structure. It's more about if certain guys are retained, right? And I understand the arguments for and against Nathaniel Hackett, but if he is retained, it's clearly going to be an issue with people out there that say, wait a minute, he was the quarterback's coach and the offense coordinator. Where do they struggle the most? At quarterback and offense generally, why is this guy coming back? You know, it doesn't make sense. And I can argue the other side, and I could understand the reasons why they might bring Nathaniel Hackett back. So I can get it logically, but they are going to run into that if they struggle. Now, if they get off to a 3-1, 4-1 start, everyone's going to say, hey, give them plenty of credit. There's a lot of time between now and the end of September, though, for those optics to be pointed out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there's not going to be as big of a honeymoon period.
No, nor should there be.
Yeah.
Nor should there be. TC, come in here and regulate, and let's go get some W's, all right? 641-1010. We'll keep the phone lines open to you. No this date in football, no drive around the NFL. You know what the news is around the NFL. And on this date, we discussed Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone turning this organization around. We'll continue to take your calls on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Loggeman. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, attention.
Now, a breaking coach announcement update. Brought to you by Plumbers 911.
The whole show's a big update. It's Jaguars today. We're blowing out this date in football and the drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Loggeman, so we can take more of your calls here. Tom Coughlin, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Doug Marrone, now your full-time head coach. By the way, in all the hubbub, and we talked about this, Tony, at great length, Tom's too old. How long's he got? What's he going to coach you, for 4 years? Well, Doug Marrone's got on a 3-year deal, right? Caldwell's on a 3-year deal. Coughlin's on a 3-year deal. The last two coaches averaged 2.5 seasons here. Mm-hmm. It was never a concern of mine whatsoever. Okay, you're going to give me 4 great years, and then you're going to be wanting to retire in your mid-70s. I'll take it. Right? I mean, give me the 4 great years first. Give me those first.
Yeah, that's
right. Then let's get to the point where we've got to replace a successful coach and maintain a level of excellence instead of seek a level of excellence. That would have been fine with
there.
Me.
You got to get there.
You got to get there first, man. You know,
it'd be nice to have that dilemma here in a couple of years.
And Good night.
We'll see if they get to that point. I do want to go back to something we were talking about right before the break, and I think we're all curious to see what's going to happen with the coaching staff and how much turnover there may or may not be. There was the story that came out yesterday that indicated that Todd Walsh was going to be kept. We really don't know.
Nobody knows.
We don't know what's going to happen. And I think for the fans that, you know, the quote-unquote stink of Doug Marrone being around this for the last couple of years and being promoted to head coach, I think that noise gets even louder if Walsh and Hackett are both kept, and that we're talking about that it feels like if they go that direction, it feels like from a fan perspective, and I would totally get it, a big bet that the reason they weren't winning was basically because of the culture that Gus Bradley established.
Correct.
That would be
in
like, that's
measure.
What it feels like. I don't know if that's really what it is, but that would certainly be the way that that story looks. We'll see what they do with offensive and defensive coordinator and how much of a difference Tom Coughlin really makes being a part of this organization now, and how much was the culture in Jacksonville a factor in them not winning. When you hear the players at the end of the year talk about the difference that they felt with Marrone, basically just stressing during practice that we're going to win. You know, it wasn't about doing your job, those kind of things. It's we're going to win. And I think it did have an effect, at least in the last 2 weeks, with the way that they played. We'll see.
All right, back to the phones we go. Joe in St. Augustine next at 641-1010. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. So I got I got a comment, and then I got a question, all right? So I don't even remember who said this, who I heard say this, but I truly, truly believe this. Now, there's a couple of exceptions to it, but what he said was, he said, if you show me a Hall of Fame coach, I'll show you a Hall of Fame quarterback that plays it. And I truly believe that. So my question is, so if this coming draft, Deshaun Watson, he's sitting at the bottom of round one, does Dave Caldwell pull the trigger? Is there any reason that he would not grab a great player in the bottom of the first round? Because we need to not bring in competition. We need to elevate the position.
I'll say this. Let me jump in here, Joe. If you couch it in the terms that you're couching it in, you're defining Deshaun Watson as a great player, a great pro player, right? And you may be right. I would say that if I think Deshaun Watson's a great pro player, I don't need to worry about trading into the end of the first round to get him because I'd be taking him at four, okay, if I really think that way. What would stop him from doing that? If he doesn't feel that strongly about Deshaun Watson. So, and obviously Tom Coughlin's going to have what we believe will be final say on these kind of decisions, so it'll be somewhat of a collaborative effort. But I think Dave Cole is going to handle a lot of the day-to-day stuff that he's always handled, Jeff. So, you know, we can sit here now, and I thought Dan Hicken had a very telling comment this morning. I was like, wow, that really shook me a little bit. Deshaun Watson last night, I'm watching the game in the first half, and I'm thinking, man, he's costing himself money. And then I'm watching him play out the way it turned out, and I'm like, wow, did he make that money back and more, over 800 yards passing against Alabama's defense the last 2 years? And Hicken goes, yeah, you know who the last guy who did that is? Johnny Manziel. Tore him apart, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, very similar style players, right? Not the biggest, thickest guy, not the cannon arm. Good accuracy, great mobility, which has bothered the Alabama Nick Saban defenses and a quarterback more than anything, I think, in this great run of theirs. So I'm not saying Deshaun Watson's going to be a bust, but don't presume, because he lit up Alabama a couple years in a row, that he's going to be a great pro quarterback either. I think there's still a lot of debate.
It's a different game.
A lot of debate about Deshaun Watson.
And it's easy to be on the Deshaun Watson train. You know, the game obviously is very fresh in everybody's mind.
No doubt.
And he's a national champion. And
if they didn't hire a coach, that's all we'd be talking about today. Is Deshaun Watson worthy of the fourth pick in the draft?
And he's a wonderful player. And look, college players that have had great success at the college level don't always translate to great success at the National Football League level, because it's a different game. Just the way it is.
If you're the Jags, though, if I give you the power right now to say, pick any position player you want other than quarterback at four, and give your second and fourth round pick to get Deshaun Watson, would you sign up for that today?
to get Deshaun Watson in the second round or the fourth round?
In the second round for the cost of a fourth round pick. So let's say you move up a couple of spots to secure as he slides through the first round, you give up a fourth round pick. So it costs you your second and fourth rounder to get Deshaun Watson, and you can go get Jonathan Allen or some other great player at number four, Dalvin Cook or whoever that happens to be.
Well, look, I'm a big believer in drafting quarterbacks every year.
Sign me up is the answer to that.
Yeah. I just believe you always look to upgrade that position because it's very, very difficult to hit on that position.
Right.
And you need competition at that position, as you always do.
I give the kid, he's got Moxie out the you-know-what.
Tremendous performance.
You talk about a guy who threw his body around last night. To get the helicopter hit that he took in the middle of the field was just – that was the Elway hit.
That was the long yard hit.
Remember the Nat Moore catch? Was it Nat Moore with the Dolphins who caught the one against the Jets and they hit him high low and he went spinning?
Helicopter.
I mean, he took some shots last night.
He took some hits, and the one that he took early on the clothesline hit that was flagged.
Oh, right.
I mean, that was a big hit now.
No doubt. All right. Hey, thank you for the call, Joe. I'm sure that kind of thing will be much discussed between now and the NFL draft coming up. Ronnie in Oceanway next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate your show. I've listened forever and never called in, but great job, Mike and Jeff. Thanks for breaking down X's and O's for everybody who's never played football before and helping the layman understand it for all these years. Thank you.
That's Jeff's. I just run my mouth, and Tony and I just try to keep the program moving. That's what we do. So what can we do for you today?
Definitely. Okay, two opinions. Con Coughlin coming in. I think we all took for granted in the early years of the Jaguars that we'd be good forever, and we started going 8-8, 500 ball, maybe a couple losing seasons, and we lost Coughlin, got rid of him, kicked him out the door. And then I watched him in New York like everybody else winning Super Bowls, and it's like, man, in the meantime, we stink since he left. We've been snake bit with all our draft picks and, just been doing awful. And I think a little bit of the curse of Coughlin is going to be lifted, with him coming in here. He's proven that he can build a team in a very short time. I mean, he was in a trailer in 1995 and built a winner in a short time. And I think he can do that here with a 3-year contract for him. And then everybody else on the 3-year time window. I'm looking forward to what he will do. Second point is for Doug Marrone. I think if a business brings in an outside person, then all of a sudden he's an expert. Well, I think a lot of fans are upset because we didn't bring in an outside person who would have been no better on their qualifications than Marrone. I think we had our guy right here. I listened to him for the last 2 weeks on how well he did in his press conferences, how he carried himself, what players like Calvin Beecham said about him, talking about we're winning today. And it's, again, like Fat Tony said, it's not the process. It's not getting better today. So I'm excited about it. I think that we got good things ahead for the Jaguars. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Ronnie. Hope you're right on all those things right there.
So. Well, I think everybody hopes that it's the right decision, and like you've said many times before, and proof is in the pudding.
Yep.
And I think that the fan base here certainly has some optimism that it would work. But I think and I said this before, that the honeymoon period is kind of over. People want to see results, and I get that. I mean, this fan base deserves results, and it's time to win. It's time to get this organization to be successful week in, week out, year in, year out.
And keep in mind, too, the Tom Coughlin, he was the architect of this franchise, right? Absolutely. No question about it. But different set of circumstances, too, right? Different set of challenges that you face as an expansion team. There were some rules that benefited both Carolina and Jacksonville in building their team.
With the draft.
And they quickly realized, we went way too far. And they didn't do that then when Houston came in to the league. So there were some advantages that both Jacksonville and Carolina were able to capitalize on. And it's just different now. I mean, look, I think for most people, it's this Tom Coughlin's a very serious guy. He knows football. And just the feeling is you're just going to have just a better set of decisions made. I'm not expressing this very well right now, but you know what I mean? It's not so much that I look at the skills that it took to build the expansion franchise are not necessarily the same skill set that he's going to need to put into use here this time around. It's a different set of circumstances. There'll be some overlap, but just because he built it the first time, it's not that experience. It's just Tom Coughlin's been around. for
he's
two
a really
decades.
Good football
as
guy.
A really good football mind, right? I mean, and that's why I really wanted him as a coach, because that's where he's proven the most. He hit on a bunch of first round picks, Jeff, but as the years went on, he missed on a lot of later picks. He really did. So he was not this flawless personnel guy, and we shouldn't revise history to suggest that he was.
He wasn't,
I'm optimistic.
He wasn't perfect, but you know, the one thing that Tom did very well was his high draft picks he hit on.
He did. And I saw suggested yesterday, let Coughlin draft in the first round, and let Caldwell continue to pick up guys in rounds 2 through 7, and that might be a pretty winning formula
Tom Coughlin didn't, you know, back, you know, when he was running the ship, he actually was hired in 1994. You know, he didn't do it alone. I mean, he had Rick Reprish.
Sure.
Ron Hill was his pro personnel guy, and Rick Reprish still is active in the National Football League as a very talented talent evaluator. You know, so he had a lot of help. And I think the one thing that it always impressed me the most about Tom from the very beginning is that he was never afraid to surround himself with good people and to make decisions that he thought weren't good for him. It was good for the organization, you know, because Tom is not an egomaniac. Tom wants what's best for everything. And at the end of the day, that's what the decision has to be. It has to be for the organization. What is best for the organization?
I mean, what better to write the final line of your football autobiography to bring this team back to championship contention, which you did in the beginning. You had that period in the middle where you won a couple of Super Bowls, cemented your legacy, and now to add the cherry on the sundae, so to speak, of course he wants what's best for the organization, because they're mutually – they're the same, right?
Well, I mean, let me add this, Mike, and then I think that Tom is going to be a great value to Dave Caldwell and also to Doug Marrone. You know, and this whole process, I remember when Dave Caldwell held the press conference that he was, you know, after he had relieved Gus Bradley of his duties, and that, you know, he said, look, whatever is best for this organization is what I want to be able to do. If that means, you know, my role changing, whatever, I mean, that's what I appreciate most about Dave Caldwell, because, you know, and that's the type of attitude that you need to have, because sometimes having another voice or having another opinion is a really good thing. And so I give Caldwell a lot of credit. Look, I don't know the dynamics, and we're going to find more about that on Thursday, of how the hiring process worked out. You know, whether, you know, Dave Caldwell said, let's get Tom on board, give him this title, or whether Tom was hired first and then he said, let's keep Dave in place, let's get Doug Marrone. We don't know any of that. You know, we've got to find out more of that on Thursday. Maybe we'll never find out
right. The
exact details on all that. But I do know this, that if you have good people in place, good things will follow. I appreciate what Dave Caldwell has done. I think he's done a very good job in some of his personnel evaluation. I think the first round, they haven't been all, you know, great. They've got to be better than that. But I think if you looked at what he has done in rounds 2 on down, I thought he's done a very good job.
I'll say this, though. You say if you have good people in place, good results will follow. They've had a lot of good people, I believe, in place for the last 4 or 5 years, and they haven't gotten the results.
No, it doesn't guarantee it.
It doesn't guarantee it, right? It does. You got to have the good people to have the chance to have that success, but it doesn't guarantee that success will follow.
Give me good people with great players.
Give me great players with some pretty good people. Yeah. Right. That's probably the
give me
the
a great
formula.
Quarterback. And
yes.
Give me some good people.
Yes. Give me a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we'll go from there. All right. 641-1010. Back with more of your calls straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right. Jaguars Today rolling along on this Tuesday live at Everbank, 641-1010. Question of the day out there on social media. Just give us your feelings, your reaction to the hirings of Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone and to their respective positions here in the Jaguar organization. And you can hit us up on that. We'll get to some of those coming up in a little bit. In the meantime, loaded phone lines, as you would expect, and we'll go back to them with John on the north side next up. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Jeff? How's it going, Jeff and Mike? Real briefly, because I know you guys are loaded up. I'm glad they hired TC. They need the TC. My first job would be get rid of Dave Caldwell, because I don't know what his role is going to be at this point, at this time here. The Doug Marrone thing, I like that as well, too, because he's going to be a HA like Brian Walters said yesterday. We need a coach in here who demands respect and not just being a buddy-buddy guy to get things done. And for the fourth pick, guys, the guy from Clemson is the guy that they need to bring in here. Is because you're not – Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, they're not tied to Blake Bortles. He's going to be here for one more year. That's what his contract says so to do in regards to that matter there. And for Mike, just for you, Mike, just for you, is that when
me.
you listen to Dan earlier today and said something, Dan or Jeff and said something about Deshaun Watson is like Johnny Manziel, no way, shape, or form. You haven't heard any bad negatives about.
I'm not talking about off the field. I'm just talking about the numbers. Numbers and a mobile quarterback without the cannon arm, not your prototypical pocket passer. I'm just talking about their on field impact against
it's
Alabama's
like a
defense.
Taller Russell Wilson.
But yeah, and look, I'm not trying to throw Deshaun Watson under the bus as a character guy. He apparently has great character from everything you hear about him. So I will clarify one thing, because it sounded like John thought there's a chance that Dave Caldwell might be gone. Dave Caldwell received a contract extension yesterday, so he's not working on a 1 year deal. He got extended fully 2 more years. So all three of them, Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone, all on the same timetable with 3 years on their contracts, go 17, 18, 19. That's what they're all under contract for. Dave Caldwell is going to be handling a lot of the same day-to-day stuff, is my impression of this, Jeff, that whereas in the past, the owner of the team would sign off on moves, personnel moves, be they free agent signings, draft picks, things like that. Tom Coughlin will be the guy signing off now. The difference being, I don't think Shad Khan would have overruled Dave in the past on any football moves. That's why he hired Dave Caldwell.
I don't think he did.
Right. Whereas Tom Coughlin may, in fact.
Look the scouting, the day-to-day stuff, I'm sure that Tom will be involved in some of the bigger decisions. I mean, and I would expect that the first-round pick, he will have an opinion on that, and it's going to be his final call. But as far as the day-to-day stuff and – undrafted college free agents, draft picks all the way through and through. I mean, that the work and the homework is going to be done by Dave Caldwell and his staff. And they will all, I'm sure, meet with Tom Coughlin when it comes time. And Tom will look at everything that they have done and ask questions of them. And you better have answers to his questions.
Good ones.
Yeah. Because he wants to make sure that he will make sure that the right decisions are being made, and it will be no different than when it comes to coaching. Tom knows coaching. Tom will ask questions, and I'm sure, and have meetings with Doug Marrone. Okay, what do we have here? What do we have on the table? And then after the game, I'm sure he'll review certain things. Say, why did we do this? Why didn't we do this? I think it's a unique situation, and I think it's a very good situation. It's very similar to John Elway's role with the Denver Broncos. John Elway has a personnel chief that runs the day-to-day operations, and John obviously provides input, and he's the ultimate decision-maker. And then John meets with the coaches, and I'm sure that he asked questions of Gary Kubiak all through the year and last year. So it's a good role, and I'm with you, Mike. I mean, I hope it works, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think it's fair to be skeptical. Why shouldn't you be? There's no harm done.
There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees.
And especially after the last 5 years, I totally, and Jaguar fan says, I question all this until you need to prove it to me at this point in time. That's more than fair based on recent results. Let's get Alan in East Arlington next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning to you guys. Hey, concerning the hires, let me first mention that last week my choice would have been Tom Coughlin, number one, followed by Mike Smith. But concerning the hire of Doug Marrone, I need to preface it by saying that the post-game locker room talks that was on Jaguars.com, I would watch those and always thought that, gosh, Gus Bradley must really be a great person, a great motivator, just an all-around good guy. But when I saw the post-game talk by Doug Marrone following the Tennessee game, I went, wow, is that what a NFL coach sounds like? It was just a different air, or on camera anyway. And I didn't know anything about Doug Marrone. I didn't have any an opinion. But first opinions are great, or very important. So my first opinion of him is, hey, it may be a great hire. So
the one thing that I appreciate about Doug Marrone is, look, I think great players have edge. I think great coaches have edge. And I think that, you know, he comes from the Bronx, born and raised in the Bronx, and he's got a little edge to him. And I think in today's day and age in the National Football League, sometimes motivating players with a little bit of edge is a good thing. And so I think that will be nice, and it will be refreshing, and it will be very different and a break from what Gus Bradley has been. And not to say that, you know, Gus's way doesn't work in some occasions, but I'm looking forward to seeing Doug Marrone's edge and see how it impacts this football team and how different it will be.
Yeah, you wonder, would Gus Bradley's way have worked better if you had a more veteran-laden roster, right? They were so young when they decided to strip it down to the bare bones, and that was their decision, but that's the way they went, that maybe having a more seasoned kind of, like, not father figure, but, you know, that tough disciplinarian-type guy would have worked better in hindsight, you know, because in Seattle we point to Pete Carroll, but he's got a roster that's loaded with a bunch of guys now who are veterans, who are perennial Pro Bowlers and all pros. He's got a franchise quarterback. He's got some of the top players at their respective positions in the league, and I think it's easier when you've got a team that is self-motivated.
Competitive,
right?
Competitive roster.
Right. We've heard guys that go into New England. Fred Taylor's told us this and others, Jeff. You go into New England, Belichick's not telling you everything. The players run that locker room. They run it in the mold of Bill Belichick, because Belichick has gotten to the vets, and it all trickles down from there. So you don't need him to constantly be on you. There's some self-policing that goes on. I don't think this team was capable of really self-policing with the roster as young as it was for the first few years.
Very difficult to do that when you're building a roster.
Right, and you don't have a track record to fall back on and point to there. Thanks for the call there, Alan. Let's get Theo in Arlington next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning. Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Well, the first thing, I'm happy that TC came home. That's really going to benefit the team, I think. And secondly, the hire of Marrone, I'm kind of like, he's not the guy that I wanted. I would have preferred Mike Smith, but it is what it is. I'm going to take the wait-and-see approach with him to see what he can do with a full schedule.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I understand that. That's what I think a lot of people's take on it's going to be. First and foremost, I mean, people are going to be excited to have Tom back in the fold. I mean, this is because, you know, the great memories that you associate with his football team.
He was there for almost all of them.
Are his.
Most of them.
Absolutely. So I get that part of it, and I also understand the wait-and-see approach on Doug Marrone, and I get that part of it. But I think the one thing I think that I'm most excited about is that, look, there will be a boss in charge that has a lot of experience and has had great success and knows what it takes to win and to win consistently. And that's Tom Coughlin. And I think anytime you have that experience in the building, influence and organizational decisions, that's a positive. And I think that's going to be – that's the great – that to me, that's the most exciting thing about what it was announced yesterday is Tom Coughlin's involvement. And I don't know this for a fact, but I would be – I would really be shocked if Tom Coughlin did not have some say or the endorsement of Doug Marrone. Just because, I mean, he's a Syracuse guy. Tom Coughlin's a Syracuse guy. You know, and if you're going to be hired with the title that Tom Coughlin was hired with, you want to have input on the direction of the organization, and the head coach is a very important decision. My guess is that he was actively involved in that discussion.
In the discussion. I think more of this will come to light in a couple of days when they do these press conferences, but I think one of the questions people want answered, one that I want answered, is, okay, if there you reach a point in the process where you realize Tom was not going to be your next head coach, okay, and you decided you wanted him to be part of the organization, when was that decision made? And then if he's going to be the vice president of football operations, why wouldn't he sit in on the interviews with these other coaches, right? If they're going to report to him, why wouldn't he have been there? Now, maybe the timing didn't work out, you know, for that all to happen, or they're having these behind-the-scenes discussions. And maybe part of it, Jeff, is, and I don't know this to be the case, but – you know, if you come in and you sit in an interview and Tom Coughlin's sitting there, and are you thinking to yourself, well, hell, if I screw up, this guy's just going to come down out of the front office and kick me off the sidelines, right? I mean, I wonder, you know what I mean? Would that dynamic be in play with any of these prospective head coaches having a guy with that much success?
Yeah, it would be intimidating.
Right.
Yeah, it would be very intimidating. And so maybe you didn't want him involved.
Or maybe it would have weeded out the guys that couldn't handle it.
Here's the thing. What's the most important part of an interview process?
Handshake.
Is it the face-to-face conversation? Or is it the vetting that you do behind the scenes?
Yeah, right.
That's the most important.
There's probably a lot of important parts, but understood. So anyway, a lot of these questions, I do think the process of how this all came together is still a little bit fuzzy for a lot of people, yeah, myself included, and we'll find out more in a couple of days. All right, we'll take a time out here. We'll come back if you have time to hang on the line. We'll try to get to you on the other side. We'll hit up Twitter and Facebook as well for your reaction to the hirings of Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jeff Lagerman lays down the law. Jeff Lagerman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Lagerman.
I think you guys realize that when you play as a team and you play as one and you understand the plan and you work during the week, you know, these are the type of games you're playing. It's not a very difficult game, guys. Really not. Okay? All right? You get the plan, you go to the plan, and you remember what I told you in this locker room. Your team. When you look around this room and you believe in the guys that are next to you, that's the strongest damn thing a team has. Not the coaches, not anything else. The players from within. So let's just make sure that we give credit, all right, to our teammates, all right, not ourselves, all right. It's not about me, not about the coaches. It's about the players in this room. I'm happy for the coaches. You guys did a great job all week. I'm proud of you as players, but I expected that from our players, okay, all right. I'm happy you can see what you do with the fans. When you play good football, the fans stayed. The fans cheered. The fans were into the game. They were in a silent count. They were there for you. And at least the thing that I am happy for, Coach Bradley, our assistant coaches, our players, okay, our organization, our owner, everyone involved. What did I say at halftime? Merry Christmas. There we go.
Merry flipping Christmas, everybody. Was that at all tweet? Tony, that audio there at the end?
Maybe at the end a little
Merry
bit.
Merry flipping Christmas, everybody.
I doubt he said Merry Christmas at halftime.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, you know what? You got any problem with a guy who occasionally uses a little salty language in the locker room logs?
Occasionally?
Right. Or all the time, for that matter. I don't think anybody is going to be too distressed over that. It's football.
No.
Right. So
no, it's look, there's some guys that are like, oh, they cringe when they hear it, but there are others like, that's what they grew up with.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll try to get a few more of these callers in here momentarily. Maurice Jones-Drew has weighed into me, said basically he likes what the organization did. If you're curious as to what he thought, he said, Dave does the draft, Tom controls the 53, Marrone is the leader. I like it. We'll see if it all works out exactly that way. I don't know if Maurice knows what the power structure is going to be here. But nevertheless, if you were curious, now you know. And
What is he doing now?
He does
NFL Network.
NFL Network. Yeah, he does. He'll do now that it's all season, he'll do less. We're going to do three shows on Radio Row at the Super Bowl for Sirius. We just wrapped up our season. It was our seventh year doing that on Sirius, our eighth year of radio together.
Okay.
Last Wednesday. So,
How's he doing physically? Last time I saw him, he looked rather large.
He's got some New Year's resolutions to live up to. Let's put it that way.
Because
he was like, I saw you see him the other day on social media, Tony's all about lifestyle change. And he was like my sister gets, he starts, tweeting out pictures of the health shakes that he's drinking and stuff like that. So
Come on.
Well, here's what he knows. He goes on TV all the time, but now he's going to see his peers in person at the Super Bowl, and they're all going to give him hell. Right, they all are going to give him grief, and
it's amazing how the New Year's resolutions, you got everybody. I'm going to get in great shape now. I'm going to start doing push-ups and sit-ups and all that kind of stuff. Look, the push-ups and the sit-ups aren't the most important things. It's called the push-backs.
Sure, don't eat as much.
Yeah,
right. But I've stuck with my goal to add a push up a day every day for the
push
year.
Push back or a push up?
Push up. Okay. I did one on January 1st, two on the 2nd, and today's the 10th, so I'll do 10 today.
Okay.
And my goal is to go for the whole year. As crazy as that seems.
I got a question.
Yes.
So your goal is to do one the
to,
last
to,
day.
Ultimately, do 365 push-ups on December 31st.
So you
correct.
Have to do them without taking a break.
I don't know yet because I've only done 9.
You're not going to make it.
Well, probably not.
That's very difficult. But you could do 365 in a day.
That'd be fine if I did it in a day. I'd be quite happy with that. I mean, I used to be at the point where I could do like 100 in a row, you know, but, you know, so 365.
Doing 100 in a row is very difficult.
When I added it all up, it would be about 67,000 push-ups for the year. So there you go. I don't know. That's my plan anyway. We'll see how long I'm able to stick with it. I got to get my 10 in later today.
Mike's going to be, by the time December rolls around, he's going to
be barrel chested.
He's going to be barrel chested. And you look at him from behind, and he's got like no
nothing.
Back because
nothing.
He hasn't been doing any pull ups or anything.
No. Just push ups. Here's a few on the Facebook page reaction. Daniel said, I'm okay with Marone. I really like the TC hiring. My question now lies with Caldwell and what is his role at this point. Again, this will be fleshed out in the days to come, but I think Dave's role is going to be very similar to what it is now, but he will not ultimately, if Tom Coughlin and he disagree,
Tom Coughlin
will win that argument.
That would be my guess.
And that's what it will come down to. Let's see. Steve said, I like this combo. Zachary said, on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 3. So he's not as excited. Kenneth said, love it. Now I will renew my season tickets for sure. So I don't know what if it's the combination or one or the other that made him. Joshua said, safe moves that hopefully turn out to be smart moves within the next 3 years. Just wish we would have done this after the 2015 season instead of 2016. Jared said, best fit possible, I believe. There are no real clear better options than Bortles next season. So I believe promoting Marone and keeping coordinators intact is the best option at this time. Don't know if they will keep the coordinators intact at this time. But so all the scuttlebutt, all the speculation here, and I think there is a lot of speculation. I think that picture will start to get a lot clearer even maybe by this afternoon.
I think this afternoon you'll probably have a pretty good idea of a lot of the coaches.
Right. Tony on Twitter, what kind of feedback?
Here's what we got from Stoff, the Marone hire I was not excited about, but the TC one has me excited. I just hope we get to Minnesota in February. From Cameron, I'm an optimist again. Coughlin runs the show. Marone's history of leading young teams successful. John, TC aside, the hire shows Caldwell is inept. If Marone was an option, they should have fired Gus sooner. From Joe, I feel like I need to see wins, so wait and see for him. From Jarrell, I'm looking forward to more discipline and accountability being infused into the team. From Chris, TC is a home run, in my opinion. Marone wasn't a sexy hire, but I think they can change the culture. From Ortapalooza, trepidatious. I see it either being the exact right move or the most bad team stay bad move ever. From Amish Jaguar, cautiously optimistic. I'm not convinced things will drastically change until I see it with my own eyes on the field. From Top 5, again, it doesn't matter. From now on, it's all about what Jalen Ramsey thinks. From Duval Doom, I feel what's called, quote, good. And finally, from Kyle, exactly how I felt about The Force Awakens. Wait. Isn't this the same plot before? Oh, my God, it's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, so I get that, too. You know, if you're going to look up, and look, just because we say nothing's official yet doesn't mean they won't retain Nate Hackett and Todd Wash, right? So, I mean, it could end up having a very similar feel to a lot of people, and I understand that perspective of, really, you're going to bring back this many coaches off a staff that led them to a 3-13 record, but let's see what they actually do, and then let's take each decision piece by piece. Got a couple more on the lines. Let's clear up here before we get out. Kevin in Stuart, Florida, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. My take on the Doug Marone, retaining Doug Marone, is his character. When you drop yourself from a team that you've established relationships with players and you just quit, I don't know what kind of situation he had with the owner, but, I mean, you just leave there. I question that, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like Tom Coughlin, this is my opinion, I feel like Tom Coughlin didn't want to be attached to that quarterback because that quarterback, I don't think that they can bamboozle the fans with that. And I mean, with the quarterback next year being a starter for the full year, they have to bring someone in to challenge Blake Bortles, you know, and so goes the quarterback, so goes the success of the team. That's my humble opinion, guys.
Okay, look, appreciate it. A couple things. One, I don't think Tom chose to not be the coach of this football team. I don't think he said, you know what, I'm not going to be the coach because you got Blake Bortles. Put me in the front office. I don't think it worked like that. No. I think Tom interviewed to be the head coach of this football team. And
I don't think he interviewed to be the head coach of this football team.
You don't?
No.
You think it was always a front office position?
I think the initial interview was twofold. From Tom's standpoint was what kind of role could I have? And I think from Shad Khan's perspective, my guess would be is that how can I make this organization better? And what does Tom have to offer this organization? I don't think there was ever any intention of that interview, okay, we're talking about the head coaching job. I think it was about that there was two men talking about this organization as a whole and the future of this organization. I don't think there was any preconceived, you know, plan of this is what Tom is talking to Shad Khan about the head coaching job. I think it was more of Shad wants to make this organization highly successful. Tom Coughlin wants to work for an organization and be highly successful, whether that would be as a, you know, executive vice president or as a head coach. So I don't think there was ever, well, we talked to Tom and we don't really feel comfortable about him being our head coach, and then let's go get somebody else and then let's hire Tom as the VP. I think it was a very open mind when the first time that they talked about whatever role Tom Coughlin may or may not have with this organization.
And that's one of those things that I'm sure those specific questions will be asked of whomever is available, including Shad Khan and Tom Coughlin on Thursday. Let's wrap up with Ron in Gainesville, I should say. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. My question to you, Mike and Jeff, Tony, how you doing? You guys can all chime in on this. What, if anything, would you do scheme-wise, schematically, to change the defense around? What would you do, anything with personnel-wise, to help Blake Bortles out? Just your personal opinion, not what they're going to do, what maybe you would suggest them to do if you were brought in as an executive VP to try to fix those two areas. I know the defense has played great, but my thing is with Blake is that his comments after the season kind of concerned me about not having any real direction from the coaching staff. And
well, let me start with your offensive question.
Yeah, let's jump in here.
Yeah, the offensive question about what would I change scheme-wise, I think, well, look, when you've got a quarterback, you know, the 2 years ago that had, you know, an ungodly amount of touchdowns but an ungodly amount of interceptions – this past year, the whole goal was to run the football more effectively. That's why they signed Chris Ivory. That's why they got Kelvin Beachum. That's why they signed some free agent offensive linemen. And I think you have to do what your intention was, which was for 2016 and 2017, you got to run the football more effectively. That makes your defense better. It takes the pressure off of a quarterback who may or may not be the guy of the future. So I think schematically, you got to be more committed to the run. I think defensively, I think you have to look at having a little bit bigger playbook.
Yeah, I just want to see more aggressive principles on defense in general. I'm not opposed to sending the blitz a little bit more.
That's my point about having a little bit bigger playbook.
I know it is, but I just wanted to put in those particular terms because.
And when I say a bigger playbook, I mean, okay, you always want to have a number of blitzes that you can use. And this system has really been based upon keep it simple and play fast. Okay, sometimes you can keep it fairly simple by adding a couple tweaks and coverages and play a certain way, you know, because we've never seen this organization over the last, you know, 3.5-4 years to where they've doubled people. It's always been, this is our defense, this is what we're going to play. Well, that works when you got personnel, but sometimes you need to be able to do some different things coverage-wise to cover a very talented player or hide inadequacies.
All right, we are flat out of time. That's what doing a two-hour show on a day like this does to you, and that's just the way it goes. So we'll be back tomorrow. Logs will be back in with us next Tuesday. Logs, what do you got going on the rest of the week until then?
Well, I mean, I'll be at the press conference on Thursday.
Okay.
And then Thursday night, we got Jaguars Thursday.
Right. All right.
And then outdoor show on Saturday morning.
There you go. We'll be back here all throughout the month of January talking at some NFL playoffs and certainly talking about the changing landscape of the Jaguar organization.
The playoff games are more entertaining this weekend.
Hard to believe they won't be.
The divisional round's always the best.
Yeah, yeah it is. At least on paper, it sets up to be. All right. There he goes, Jeff Lagerman for Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt for Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off today. Thanks for tuning in, and good luck to the Jags. Hopefully the decisions they made will prove to be the right ones over time, and hopefully that time isn't too long before we start to see dividends in the win-loss column. The Midday Chalk coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.